Okay, so I'm going to talk about another encounter with Jesus. Put up a couple of movie posters. You may recognize these posters. These were, they came out. The one on the right is The Elephant Man. 1980 tells the story of Joseph Merrick. Actually, in the movie, they called him John Merrick. His real name was Joseph Merrick. A guy who lived with severe deformities in his body. He ended up being exhibited in freak shows across Europe. People came to see someone who was more deformed than they could ever imagine. The book and the film tell the story of a person who was excluded from society, whom people were afraid of, partly because they were shocked by his appearance, but partly because, too, they thought, maybe I'll catch this and maybe it will pass on to me, so I need to be safe. So he lived a life of loneliness and exclusion, separated from human interaction, with few friends and little contact with other people. Often he wore a mask and a large coat when he travelled to cover up the deformities that he had. The poster on the left is for the movie Philadelphia that came out in 1993. It's about attorney Andrew Beckett, who was sacked from his law firm because he had AIDS. People didn't know how to respond. They thought that you would be in a room with someone, you could catch it. And there was a great deal of prejudice because of the disease. So the movie depicts the struggle about a guy who has this illness that other people thought was very contagious, and the difficulties that occur. He ends up losing his job because of this situation. So both movies in different ways depict the isolation of someone who has a condition that causes other people to be afraid of them, to back away from them. As a result, these people get pushed to the margins. One is socially isolated and rejected. The other is removed from his job because of the illness. All through human history, there have been people who've been experienced rejection as individuals and from society because they're perceived as different and even perceived as dangerous. What they have might pass on to me. So they end up isolated or rejected in some way. Many societies, and there's many stories like this in history. We may have even had a little bit of a taste of that during the pandemic. I remember early on, you know, people thought you could catch the disease, and especially in Western Australia, who kind of didn't have the disease, people would come and we'd lock them in hotel rooms. We can't have one case. That's what it felt like. We don't understand the disease, we're afraid of the disease, and so we isolate people. Understandable. It may be traumatic for the people who are on the receiving end. Interesting, I had a little taste of this week. My son had an ear infection and he had to go to the doctor and he had cold and flu symptoms. You know how hard it is to get medical treatment when you've got cold and flu symptoms nowadays? It's really hard. So they said, you've got to take a RAT test. You can't come through the front entrance of the surgery. You've got to go around the back, kind of the tradesman's entrance. When you get there, knock on the door or ring us up and we'll open the door. They put us in the isolation room. Only the doctor was allowed to come in and he had to wear a mask. So you end up with kind of this isolation vibe. Small example. But it can feel isolating when you're in a situation. Let's go to the next slide. In Bible times, people who had the condition of leprosy experienced extreme isolation. This photograph shows some of the deformities that are common with leprosy. Hands and feet, skin generally. We know nowadays this disease, they call Hansen's disease, is a chronic bacterial infection. It can be treated with broad-spectrum antibiotics. It affects the nerves, the skin. People often lose sensation, they don't feel pain, they injure themselves, and so the deformities and the things happen in their hands, their feet, and often all over their body. Now, the biblical term leprosy probably covers a wide range of diseases, not just Hansen's disease, but a wide range of infections of the skin. In the Old Testament, when you had a skin infection, you would present yourself to the priest, and the priest would examine the affected area. So you had some sort of infection, the priest would have a look at it, and there were rules around how you would determine what that person had. Go to the Old Testament law, it would guide you as to how to deal with this. So Leviticus 13:46 says this, the person with leprosy shall remain unclean as long as the disease is present. So while you've got the disease, you're considered unclean. They are unclean. They shall live alone. Have to live alone. Their dwelling shall be outside the camp. You have to go out from the town or the city or the village. You have to live on the edge of society. That's pretty difficult. I mean, you can't see your family. You couldn't attend worship. You couldn't attend any public event. You had to live on the outside of things. And there's further instructions. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes. This is all from the Bible. And let the hair of their head hang loose, shall cover their upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. That's the sentence if you had an infection like this of leprosy. So getting leprosy meant you were isolated. You were sent to the outside. You couldn't cut your hair. You couldn't wear decent clothes. You had to advertise the fact that I'm unclean. Keep away in case you get what I've got. It's for the protection of others. Often you were thought to be cursed. Now, it was possible to be restored to society. There was an elaborate process that you would go through in order for that to happen. But cures were very rare in those days. It was a horrible disease, made worse by the isolation and the exclusion that happened. You became a leper, an untouchable, rejected by society. You would have little human contact except at a distance. You became vulnerable, poor, outcast from society. That's what life was like for a person with leprosy in the ancient world. Now, alongside the ravages of the disease, the isolation, the exclusion, the rejection, and the horror that people would reflect towards you when they saw you, how can you sort of quantify this sort of suffering? You were completely pushed to the edge of things. Imagine someone in your family, imagine if they contracted this disease. They can't live at home. They've got to go out to the bush. They're isolated and rejected until they show no signs of having the disease. And on top of that, you're considered unclean. You're an outcast. It's difficult to imagine a more disrupting and terrible fate for someone than to have leprosy and to be excluded from the community. This has happened throughout history in all sorts of societies. Quite recently, even in our own society, when we're afraid of someone, we think we might catch something from them, we exclude them, we push them to the edges. Now, it's maybe understandable, the protection of the many, a few people are isolated to protect the many. Now, I don't think anyone would say this is fair, but maybe we can understand it. Perhaps it's necessary to protect the community. The pain of protecting society, though, falls on the few who are excluded and unfortunate enough to be afflicted with this disease. Okay, so we're looking at encounters with Jesus. Today, Jesus encounters a man with leprosy. There are several encounters of people with leprosy in the New Testament. This one is from Luke chapter 5. So we're going to read through and talk about this encounter that Jesus has. Okay, so let's go to the next one. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. You know, in some stories, it tells you where Jesus is. It gives you a context. It tells you, gives you information about it. This one, it says, in one of the towns. I think that means is what happens here is not just for one specific place. It's relevant everywhere. It's a story for any time and any place, including here and now. It's not located in a specific place. One of the towns. So this guy doesn't just have leprosy. It says he's covered with leprosy. Very specific, completely covered. There's no hiding his condition. He can't sort of, pretend that it's not there. The fact that he's in the town means he's breaking protocol. He shouldn't be in the town with this disease. He's meant to be outside. Maybe he's been outside the town for decades. Leprosy might start with a small infection. This guy, he's covered with it. This is something that's been going on for a long time. Maybe he's lost contact with friends or family who no longer come and visit him, even at a distance at the edge of town. Maybe he's eking out a living, surviving on food that people leave out, or trying to live off the land in some way. He can't cut his hair, he has to wear rags. He looks a mess. Years ago, it probably started with a small infection. There's still hope for him then. He probably went to the priest a number of times. Unfortunately, it kept spreading. It never got better. It got worse until it covered his entire body. He is filled with leprosy, completely covered. It's worst case scenario. But somehow, he's heard about Jesus. The news of what Jesus has been doing has come to this guy on the edge of town. Maybe he's healed, that Jesus heals the sick, that Jesus has driven out demons. At this point, Jesus has not yet healed anyone of leprosy. He's the first, but maybe he's heard of the other miracles. And maybe he's got hope from that, enough hope to risk breaking the protocol against the law, coming into the town, risking further rejection, possible violence against himself from people who would be scared of him when he came in. This guy is obviously infected. What goes through your mind? What goes through someone's mind when they're living on the edge of society like this? I think there would be many questions. Over time, can you imagine the questions that would come to him? Why? Why has this happened to me? And those questions, I think, would quickly turn to religious questions. Why did God allow this to happen to me? Does God care at all about me and people like me? I think this guy has had a lot of time to think about these sort of questions. This question is brewing in his mind. But even with that, even with all the resistance and the barriers, something inside him is driving him. I heard the stories about Jesus. I'm going to go and see this guy. So he's prepared to risk the rejection, risk physical violence, I think. Is this Jesus the guy I hope that he is? Is he the one who can set people free? Does Jesus hold out hope for people like me? Is there any hope for me at all? Maybe it's in Jesus. Let's go to the next one. So the next line. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." He takes the risk. He comes to town. Maybe he comes at night so he's not seen. And when he does enter the town, the crowd would see him. The crowd would part. They want to get out of his way. They don't want to come anywhere near him. They don't want this guy around. Perhaps they're telling him to get back out of town. Get lost. You're unclean. But he keeps going. He gets near enough to Jesus and begs. He's desperate. And out comes the question he's been waiting to ask. "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Now notice the question is not, "Lord, if you are able, you can make me clean." He's not doubting Jesus' ability. This is not about, can God heal? That's not the question here. He's heard about the miracles. Jesus clearly has the power. He's able to do it, but here's a massive issue. Would Jesus care about someone like me? If you are willing, would he care about someone people have rejected? Someone others has rejected? Even the law of Moses said he should be outside of things. According to the law, he is unclean. Does God care for people like this? Does God care for lepers? And I think he asked the question and the question hangs there. I wonder if some of the crowd, they would have heard the question and said, "Of course he's not willing. Of course he's not willing. Get back out where you belong, on the edge of things. The law says you are unclean. Go away. Go back where you belong, in isolation." And I think some people probably have that response. But maybe there's other people, they hear the question and maybe there's someone in their family who's affected, who's afflicted, or someone among their friends who's been sent to the edge of town as well. They've suffered and they're asking the question as well. I imagine those people, when they hear this question, they think, "I wonder, is he willing to set this guy free?" And I think they would look to Jesus and say, I wonder what he's going to answer. What is the answer going to be for this question? We always assume that God rejected these people. That's what the law said. God didn't want them. They are unclean. What is Jesus going to do? How is he going to answer this question? The question hangs there. If you are willing, you can make me clean. It's a massive question. And the answer to that question has massive implications for who we believe God to be, what we believe to be the character of God, what we believe to be God's heart for people. Let's find out how it gets answered. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. So here's the response. Notice what he does first. He doesn't have a theological debate. This might be the first human contact this guy has had in decades. The first touch he's received in years. Jesus reaches out his hand and touches him. How significant is this? Australian Medical Association says this. Our skin is the largest organ on our bodies and sends good and bad touch sensations to our brains. From birth until the day we die, we have a need for physical contact. Early in life, touch is important in building relationships and bonding and stimulates the hormone oxytocin, which is the feel-good hormone. Touch can reduce heart rate and blood pressure and help us to feel calmer and less stressed. Touch reduces the release of cortisol and seems to have a beneficial role in our immune system. Touch can strongly transmit a sense of being accepted and cared for and can reduce a sense of loneliness. This is the AMA, this is Australian Medical Association, talking about the impact of touch in the healing and care of patients. Now this guy, it's obvious he's not clean. He's covered with leprosy. This is not just a small case, this is worst case. Jesus doesn't stop and debate and go through all that. Instead, he embodies, he lives out God's response. One of the most important things about the gospel stories is that we see Jesus, a human being, representing God. So what Jesus does, this is what God would do. This is the heart of God being reflected through this person, Jesus, on earth, showing us what the character and nature of God actually is. You know, when we talk about God being revealed, this is the greatest revelation. It's the person of Jesus. What he does is the greatest revelation of who God is. Jesus reaches out and touches him. Now, in the Old Testament, purity laws, you had these purity laws. They assumed impurity exists. Don't go anywhere near it. Don't touch anyone. Don't touch anything. Don't touch any object that might be under a purity law that is kind of restricted. The idea is, as soon as you touch it, you become impure. Impurity passes on to others. Don't touch unclean things. Don't touch an unclean person. If you touch a leper, you'll become unclean and you may get the disease yourself. That's what they believed. Not like that with Jesus. Whatever human thoughts Jesus has about the possibility he may contract the disease or be ceremonially unclean because of it, they are overridden by this capacity to reach out and touch him. In Mark's gospel, same story, it has some extra details. It says this in Mark's gospel. It says that Jesus was filled with compassion. That before he reaches out, it talks about him being filled with compassion. And it's a word that talks about being moved deeply on the inside. Jesus felt like that because of this person. He's deeply moved by the needs of people. He sees the suffering and he's moved by it, which causes him to reach out. Out of the compassion, he reaches out, touches the man, and instead of the leper's uncleanness passing to Jesus, Jesus' holiness and purity and power passes to the leper. The leprosy flees at Jesus' words, spoken with authority. Be clean. And it's gone. And so this rejected, lonely, seemingly forgotten man gets his question answered. Is Jesus willing to accept? Is he willing to deal with? Is he willing to engage with a person like me? Yes. Jesus is willing to engage. And if Jesus, then God. Not only to heal, but also to reach out and touch. So the question, Jesus, are you willing, is forever answered in this story. Is God willing to get involved in the lives of people who are on the edge of things? This question answers that story for all time. Whenever we feel rejected, isolated, alone, we doubt God's goodness and care, the question comes up, is God willing? Does he want to make a connection with me? Does God care? The answer is shown, yes, he's willing. Yes, he cares. He's willing to reach out and touch. Whatever our situation, Jesus reaches across the barrier, touches us and makes us clean. You don't have to be concerned that your uncleanness is going to pollute Jesus or pollute God. Some people say, you know, you say, oh, how long since you've been to church? Oh, if I walked into the church would fall over. You know, or something like that had happened. Or something bad had happened because they think, well, my life is so bad, I couldn't even possibly go there because something really bad had happened because God would certainly reject me and probably blow the church up or something. You don't have to be concerned about that. Your impurity does not pass to Jesus. His purity passes to us. He's filled with compassion for those on the outside, for those considered unclean, even for the lepers. His holiness is transferred to others. It doesn't work the other way. In this story, it's the leper that gets cleansed. But theologically, we speak of the imputation of Christ's righteousness to people. Our uncleanness gets transferred to him, and on the cross, he carries it all. It's all been carried and taken away. We celebrate that in communion. He carried our sin. He carried our uncleanness. It didn't pollute him, but he did die for it. His power, his purity gets transferred to us. We are cleansed by his blood. We are made clean theologically. And so in this story, we discover, yes, Jesus is willing to make us clean. Whatever our situation in life, he is willing. Whatever your uncleanness is, he is willing. Jesus said, I am willing, be clean. So he makes the man with leprosy clean. No sign of disease on the skin. How amazing would that be to have this completely overwhelming condition covering all of your body and then it's completely well? This guy must be excited. And you might think, well, this is the end of the story. It'd be a good end to the story. He's completely healed. He's made well. But what happens next? The story has a little bit extra, and what happens there is surprising. The process of becoming clean does not just mean that you've been cleaned and healed of your disease. Jesus doesn't stop there. There's another step. Let's read the next verse. Then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. So even though you're now completely healed, I want you to go through the process, the Old Testament process of cleansing with the priest. Go, do it as a testimony, which I think probably does a couple of things. First of all, it lets the priest know you're clean. You used to be unclean and now you're clean. They're the ones that were meant to certify this. They would even give you a certificate. They'd give you like a medical certificate saying you are now authorized as clean. And with that certificate, you can re-enter society. Jesus doesn't stop just by fixing your body. He invites you and puts you in a new community. That makes all the difference. He wouldn't be allowed back into the community without that certificate, without this cleansing examination of the priest. That was the end of not only his leprosy, but the end of his rejection and the end of his isolation. The miracles that Jesus does are not just about healing individuals. He does that. It's amazing. The miracles are also about restoring people to community, bringing people into God's people, restoring them in every aspect of community life. If this guy had a family, he can now return to them. He could go to the footy. He could play sport. He could do whatever he wanted, whatever. He could do anything now. He could go to a party. He could participate in worship. All of these things were denied to him for so long, and now he's not only cleansed of his leprosy, all of these things are back on the table. The restoration that God gives is not just you as an individual. Yes, it is that. It's communal. Salvation is not just about your soul. It's about your body. It's about your family. It's about your community. God does all of these things. He brings it all into his family. He can participate in work. He can bless others with this work. The Jewish leaders had focused on purity according to the Old Testament law. That's understandable. The Old Testament was clear about many aspects of the law. But this is often done in a way that wasn't compassionate. There was no compassion. So you're unclean, get lost. The sinners, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the poor, the disabled were not treated like Jesus treated this guy. They were shunned and considered unclean. Yeah, we got a theological basis for that, but it didn't reflect God's heart. It's very easy as a religious person, you know, someone who believes, who's been a Christian for a while, and wants to live out the righteousness of God, even unconsciously, to set up this idea that some people are out and some people are in, and to treat those who are out as outcasts. I think Jesus had a different approach. I think it's incredible the way that Jesus does this. Psalm 89:14 says this. It says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. In other words, the rule of God is built on righteousness. It's got to be true. God doesn't build on falsehood. He builds on truth and holiness, rock solid aspects of God's character. That's the foundation of his throne. God judges sin. God is a holy God. That's part of the deal. That's the foundation of his throne. But the next part of the verse says this, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne, but love and faithfulness go before you. In other words, the projection of God into the world and the universe is actually love and faithfulness. It's mercy. It's compassion. It doesn't take away the righteousness. That's the foundation. But as God relates to people, he does so in mercy. Loving, compassionate. So when people encounter God, when they encounter Jesus, they experience the compassion. They experience the love, which is based on the truth and his holiness. The father of the prodigal doesn't sit back and criticize his son as he returns from the pigsty. He doesn't say, well, son, you were out there and you belong out there. No, the son comes back and he goes, the father, representing God the Father, runs to embrace him. The Jewish leaders criticized Jesus because he ate with sinners and tax collectors. And maybe if we catch his heart, maybe the same should be true of us. Maybe the same criticism should be applied to us. You're too gracious towards people who don't deserve grace. Now, in Jesus, we have the perfect embodiment of this. In John, it says, the law came through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So I think the vibe that the people get from the church and from Christians should not be, oh, those Christians are against sin. That may be true, and that is the foundation. But instead it should be, look how gracious those people are towards others. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. The fact that Jesus cleanses a guy covered with leprosy, worst case purity issue, tells us that Jesus can cleanse any issue of uncleanness in us. By sending him to the priest, Jesus restores him to community, gives him the avenue by which all of his life can be restored. The story of Israel has been developing since Abraham. Jesus doesn't say, well, come over here, I'm going to take you away from all that stuff. He goes, no. Go back to the priest. I want to include you in this story. Now, the story's changing with Jesus, but it's the same story. God is still telling his story. Jesus sets people free. He includes them in his community. Today, it's the church. You don't see, in the New Testament, you don't see Christians disconnected from the church. It doesn't happen. That wouldn't make sense to Jesus or to the biblical story. Jesus invited people to come back into the story, be included in the story. Now, the story radically expands with Jesus to include all nations and include the outcasts, even the Gentiles. But it's not a new story. It's the next stage in the story God has been telling all along. Okay, so the last verse. I'm going to have the band come up. So Jesus said, don't tell anyone in the previous verse. How can you stop telling anyone, right? Your life's been totally transformed. And Jesus said, don't tell anyone. In Mark's gospel, this starts off this idea. They call it the messianic secret. Jesus says, don't tell anyone. They all tell everyone. And then Jesus can't. He's not allowed. There's too many people. He's got to get away from all this. So he goes into the desert. This guy, I think, goes and tells people. News gets out. Crowds of people come to hear Jesus, to be healed of their sickness. And from this point on, Jesus is busy. He gets busy because God is using him. Part of the way Jesus manages the busyness in this verse, the news about him is spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. The story begins with a guy in isolation. He's isolated because of his leprosy. Jesus brings him in. He is willing to cleanse him. The guy is cleansed and restored to community. And how does the story end? Jesus has to go into isolation because there's so many people wanting his attention. There's something about that. If we get involved in Jesus, his works, it will mean for us we might end up in isolation because there are others in isolation that need us to be connected to God so that we can step into that space and bring God's welcome to them. Now, maybe there's three applications in this. Some of us might feel the most relevant question for you is, Lord, are you willing? Are you willing to make me clean? That might be where you're at. There might be something, there's things about your life and you're thinking, can God fix this? Can Jesus accept me in my situation? Is he willing? And the message of the story is, yes, I am willing, be clean. Now that may be something you can process as your application of this message. Some of us, secondly, might be wrestling with this tension. How do I represent Jesus well in this world? How do I follow the one who does this for this guy? How can I reach out and touch the untouchable? And maybe the application for us is, Lord, help me represent you. Let me be like Jesus in this world for those who are on the outside of things, to connect with those who others might think are untouchable or unclean. Help me do that. That might be your application. And the third one, I think the last verse there, for some of us who are involved in reaching out, you're doing ministry in some way. Maybe you do connect with lots of people. It gets busy. Maybe what you need is what Jesus needed. He needed to isolate, to go to a lonely place and to connect with God to fill his tank. He needed to be refreshed so that he would be able to connect, minister to people. Maybe you need to go to a lonely place more often to pray, to get perspective, to get refreshment, to sustain yourself because there is much on. That's maybe the third application. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you that Jesus answers the question for all time. For every person who feels on the outer, who feels unclean in some way, who feels unacceptable in society, are you willing to make me clean? Lord, I thank you that your answer is yes, I am willing. Be clean. Lord, I pray when we live this out in our lives, when we see people who are on the outer, maybe who've been rejected, who feel unclean, and maybe this has happened to them for a long time, Lord, I pray that we can represent you. That their question, is God willing? Is Jesus willing to make me clean? That we will be in the space, Lord, where we can say on his behalf, yes, he's willing, be clean. And Lord, I pray when we're busy, Maybe we've done some things like that. Maybe we've been involved in that space. We've helped some people. Maybe we need to withdraw. Lord, give us those spaces to be refreshed, to be recharged, so that we can continue the work. Thank you, Lord. You encounter people wherever they're at, and you take them to a new place. Take us to new places, Lord. Lead us, we pray, in Jesus' name.